from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-T-I.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and anybody else who's listening. It's me, Lee G. Banks, on Postcard from Poprad. And this is the week I poked myself in the eye with a tree and my car got towed away again. So I'm not very happy, but what makes me really happy is that the wonderful, the gorgeous, the incredible Rachel Hot Pants Brunsdon in Darwin is here.
Hello! Hello! Hello, Uncle Lee. I've got to tell you, I meant to send you an email and warn you, but now I've got you on air, I'll tell you. All of our airports in Australia have gone into this amber alert.
Is that because of this carpet?
No, it's because they hear a Banks fella's coming to Australia and they don't know which port he's landing in, so they've gone into amber alert, and apparently there's film crews assembled at them waiting.
One of my favourite films is Forever Amber. It is, and if they've actually gone and put an amber alert on for me, I'm coming next week.
I'm excited, but I'm not excited because
why are you not excited?
Because I don't get to see you because you won't be in my part of the country. It's a very, very big country, and you're only going to be there for a very short time, and it's very far away from me where you're going to be.
I know, I realise that. Honestly, it's like there's lots of people I wanted to see and lots of we wanted to go to Ayers Rock and places like that. But it's an eight-hour flight. It's a really long flight.
It is a very vast country and it's huge. People don't understand until they actually fly across it how massive it is. But nonetheless, I will be thinking about you as I look upwards and say, Lee G. Banks in the sky and not
that's
in it. Heaven.
That sounds like a guy.
Yeah, exactly. Not in heaven because he's not dead, but he's just travelling across the sky. So I'll
Do you know what I want to do when I'm there?
What do you want to do?
I want to go swimming with kangaroos.
They don't swim.
Yeah, swim. I want to swim with a kangaroo. You know, everybody else swims with dolphins.
Yeah.
I want to go. Because it'd be nice, wouldn't it? Because it'd just sit there and look at you, wouldn't it? Or it'd swim there. The only thing that worries me is, like, its pouch might fill with water and it might. Well, no, because I'd rescue it. I'd hold it and cuddle it. And I'd swim on my back.
I've had enough of this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, anyway, so, yes, ladies and gentlemen, we've been told to be serious this week.
Yes.
Mr. Wiltshire, if you've noticed, isn't here again, but he sent like, this missive to all the Postcard from Poprad people saying, act like grown-ups, stop acting like children.
Yeah, we're all in trouble.
We're being grown-ups.
Yeah, we're going to be grown-ups.
And the grown-up amongst us is the glorious, the wonderful, the gorgeous Petra!
Oh, you're actually talking to me. Nice. Three minutes of the show is gone and this you just now said I'm here.
You did that a while ago, actually, when your Uncle Eric was under the weather or away. It was when he was on his big trip away. and you talked for about 5 minutes before you introduced Petra. You've done it twice now. That's twice.
It's rude. It's very rude.
All on International Women's Day. I can't stand it.
I was just going to say that. And so what's International Women's Day?
Do you actually have that in Australia?
Well, it's International Women's Day. We all have it, Petra, even you. And
well, I know we do, but I didn't think.
we all have it. Everybody has it. It's international, so it's a global day for women. And we do have it because every other day is the one for men.
Why should women have their own day?
Because you get 364.
No, we don't. We're not liberated.
Yes, you do.
Women are liberated. Men ain't liberated. Men have to work.
So now you know there is International Women's Day. It's actually 8th of March, which makes it tomorrow, Lee. So you have to buy something nice for Andrea.
I'm taking her to Australia.
That doesn't count.
Swimming with crocodiles.
That doesn't count. It's not tomorrow.
And it's on a Saturday. You have to have it on a Saturday when men are at home watching telly, watching sports racing.
It's not
Saturday.
It's the date. It's 8th of March.
Go on then. You big show-off woman. Why is it the 8th of February? Why pick that date? Why is that special to women? Because a number 8 looks like the hourglass figure a woman should have, but most of them don't have.
Nasty.
The real Barbie, please stand up. What's our first story?
So that's it. So we've got nothing to say on International Women's Day then.
It's the specialist day of the year and we've argued about it and now we move on. Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, but you know, I explained why you need to have a special day just for women.
I did. Men, I did tell you.
Day. Yeah, but
it's in all seriousness, it's a day when extraordinary women are celebrated and women in general are celebrated for achieving things that, you know, are extraordinary. Like people like...
Quickly, example.
They like to... Hillary Clinton, Julia Gillard, well, not anymore because she's been sacked, but, you know, the Condoleezza Rice's and the what's her name from Germany, that Angela woman who can't ski very well and women doing massive things. Angelina Jolie probably gets celebrated for something, you know, like that. Impressive women, they come to the fore and they go, come on, women, you can do it. And we all go, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we have no idea what International Women's Day is about, and there's two women here and one male chauvinist, hound.
It's really. I'm actually. Do you know what? To be honest about International Women's Day, and I'm probably going to get a lot of hate mail for this, but you know, whatever. I don't really understand it. International Women's Day. I mean, I understand. Women do great things all the time, every day, do men. You know, I just don't understand why we. I'm unsure as to why we differentiate, but nonetheless we do.
Just as a matter of serious interest on this, because when Women's Lib became an organisation, a proper organisation, it was, I can't remember, that's a long time ago, I was almost a baby in arms when it happened, but I was working on the Sun newspaper in the UK. Women wanted what were called the snugs in pubs in Britain. The snug was a room where men gathered to smoke and drink and have men talk. Mm-hmm. And women generally didn't go in them. But women wanted the right to go into the snug in a pub. And they ultimately won that right so that there was no segregation of male or female in the pub. Mm-hmm. The idea that I did for the Sun was I tried to join the Women's Institute and I was turned down flat. I was a man. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Now that it's is a, basically it seems like that a bit of I a, think started.
Yeah, it's a double standard. I don't, you know, I'm all for women being treated fairly and equally and equitably. If they do the same amount of work, they should get the same amount of money. I'm all for that. I'm all for education for women. I'm all for all that stuff. But I don't see where it turns into discrimination against men. I don't agree with that.
I think you're gorgeous. I hope Australia is filled with women like you because I would be so happy and comfortable. You're quite right. It's quite right. It's like, you know, I as a man, right, mm-hmm. I can cook, I can sew, I can make mm-hmm. flowers grow, I can do all sorts. I can do the washing, I can iron, I can dust. Andrea can do all those things, but there's one thing she can't do and I can. She mm-hmm. can't change a wheel on a car and she can't mm-hmm. change the oil in a car. That's mm-hmm. my job. So there is this segregation. Us men are treated really badly.
I think that you are treated unfairly in some circumstances because discrimination in some massive radical ideas goes backwards. So I think with the radicals, the massive radicals, the really hardcore feminists who just all they do is man bash. I'm really anti that. I don't think that's okay. I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's okay to discriminate against anybody. So I don't think to elevate oneself, one needs to put others down. I don't think that's any classy way to do anything.
Spot on, Rachel Pop Pants Brunsden. See, that in its own way is sexist, isn't it? That's sexist.
Yeah, but I don't see it that way. I know what it means, so I, you know, yeah. I know, and I know that it's not given to me, it wasn't given to me as a nickname in a sexist manner or with sexist connotations. So I know that it just means hot pants Bronson. It was just because it was actually hot where I was living, and that's how I got hot pants. Yeah.
And that's it. It's like calling me Lee Y. Front Spanks.
Right.
I don't see what's funny
about
that.
We're not going to talk about pants this week.
We, oh, no, exactly. We can't talk about them, can we? Right, no more mention of pants.
Petra, don't let us do that.
I know. No, okay, so we're going to, I think no we're going to skip everything. Pants. We're just going to go serious.
Yeah, we've got to talk about this woman on Russia Today who quit a job. Because of because she no one wants oh gosh oh my she no longer wanted to be a mouthpiece for Putin. What do we think about that? Liz Wall, US anchor for Russia Today, told viewers during a last broadcast that the channel was guilty of whitewashing the actions of President Vladimir Putin.
She's brave.
Yes, agreed.
Why is she brave? Why do you think she's brave?
Because it was because she's making a stand in a place where it's pretty scary to make a stand, and she's a woman in a place that it's scary to be a woman. Actually,
yeah.
International Women's Day, cheers, Liz. And you know what? I think she was Petra's correct. She was very brave, and it was a really scary thing for her to do. But I'm glad she did it in a sort of semi spontaneous manner. It was something she didn't. She just sort of came to a decision and made it.
Wonder how spontaneous it was.
She seemed when she was being interviewed about it afterwards. She seemed fairly genuine about the spontaneity of it. So I mean, I don't see why she would. You know, she doesn't need to stage it. She quit.
Well, that's right, yeah. But then, you know, broadcasters do, like Cilla Black, that on the very famous whatever that show was she used to do in Britain, actually announced at the beginning of the show, a live show, that this was the last show she was going to do. It floored everybody, not me, because I didn't particularly like the show, but it floored everybody, all because she walked off on that show live on air, basically. And this is what this woman's done. But I think there's one thing here we've got to look at when you talk about what she's saying she was being spontaneous. I think this is hilarious. If she meant it, she's very clever. If she didn't, she needs to think about it. She said, it was kind of spontaneous. I decided on that day, right? How can that be spontaneous if you decided beforehand, right?
That's why I said
she was thinking about it, but she didn't want to do it, maybe. And then
that's not spontaneous.
What? When you think
spontaneous combustion happens as you're sitting there watching telly. All of a sudden you just burst instantly.
Or when you're drumming in Spinal Tap.
Exactly. And then she said a red line had been drawn. Now, that is either very clever or very bad.
That's a reference. When I read that, I went, it wasn't just a line drawn, it was a red line.
No, that's clever, isn't it? That is actually clever.
It's brilliant. It's very clever.
What do we think about what's happening now in Crimea? What do we think?
Crimea River.
No, we've got to be serious, you silly pants.
It's funny, you know. I have to read all the international news about this. I mean, we are getting news about it here in Australia, of course. But if you really want to know, you've got to sort of read as much news from everywhere as you can. And I'm attempting to do that, but it's a really murky situation. And I don't know that there seems to be a whole lot of to be fair to everybody. I also read a lot of articles about. You know, a lot of people that live in that area are actually Russian, they speak Russian, and have been having these big rallies and celebrating, you know, Russia being there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know enough about it to have an opinion. But I really hope it doesn't come to really big blows, and I just hope America minds its own business.
Well, you see, the problem is, the way I look at it, and maybe I'll just run this past you and Petra to see what you think. You see, is this just Putin being petulant over the fact that a country on his borders, a country that they owned, a country that he's ignored for years, is about to join the EU? Now, that means that all of a sudden, that small pocket of power that he once had and abandoned will become something important and will also start to reap the riches of being in the EU, much like Slovakia did, much like a lot of other countries did. Now, is that what he's being? Is he just like, is he like a child just saying, I don't want it, but you're not having it?
It's and like a child who's finished with its toy, but he doesn't want anybody else to have it.
Yeah, is that, and what a dangerous situation to put the world in.
Petra, weigh in.
I'm enjoying listening to two of you.
Okay, well, I see exactly what you mean. It's been interesting for me because I'm not very knowledgeable about this particular subject. Just to read everything I'm reading from both sides, because I had no real opinion one way or the other. I don't like Vladimir Putin. I've made no secret of it in the past.
He does look like obnoxious. Action Man, doesn't he?
He does, but he's obnoxious, and you know he's very full of his own importance, and I don't particularly like him, and I don't think anybody likes him very much except him. Yeah. But he seems to. I see all these people making comparisons in funny little memes on Facebook about Hitler and stuff like that. I don't think. That's a really fair equation to make, but I don't know. I think he is. I think he's having a dummy spit. Really, I really do. I think he's a little kid who spat his chewy out.
That is the way it feels. But the implications of it are quite terrifying, aren't they?
Well, this is what concerns me. The bit I do understand is that I just hope and pray for everybody's sake that it doesn't get out of hand. I mean, there's so much going on in different places that is heinous and awful and just horrible. Every day you hear about more horrendous things going on the African continent, and you hear about Syria, and you hear about all these horrible things going on, and I just don't want this to be another horrible thing.
I agree with you 100%. So basically we agree that Putin is a bit petulant and could be described in certain quarters as a bit of a snake in the grass, which leads me on perfectly to this that was a bison.
Oh, I'm just going to just bathe in that segue for a moment. That was glorious. Well, it's a brilliant story. You know about I can't say that. No, I'm
just going to say it.
No, I'm not going to say anything about you and pythons. I just am going to say that a 10-foot python, right? Yeah. This is in Queensland, where I used to live. This 10-foot python's come along and eaten this whole crocodile. Now, crocodiles are really scary. Yeah, a whole crocodile.
It's like eating potato pie, wasn't it?
That's exactly right.
It's on the outside, soft on the inside.
Yes. It's so true. They met in a kind of a lakey type creaky thing, they were actually having an argument about whose skin was better and more expensive.
Yeah,
and
so he ate it.
Who makes better handbags? I do. No, I do. Well, I'll have you. So then this python wraps itself around this like 3-foot crocodile, which is actually a really small crocodile. I've got to tell you, it's a baby.
Is this why it reminds you of me?
Yeah.
Just wraps itself around you.
Wraps itself around and then starts to constrict. And then basically, crushed it to death and then unlocked its jaw and devoured it. Now, 3 feet long is pretty big.
It is.
A crocodile's got massive jaws that when they get going, they're like a machine. They're like a big machine. So I mean, and then I thought to myself, okay, so if the snake beats croc, does croc still beat scissors?
Oh, very good. I get that. I get that. Have you ever seen a crocodile, Rachel?
I've seen lots of crocodiles. Well, you can see them in a controlled environment. I haven't seen them in the wild. You can go to crocodile parks and stuff here, especially in Darwin. There's lots of them.
So you don't meet the street, like, because I'm there in 6 days.
No. They don't like walk around. They don't deliver the mail. The kangaroos do. So you can go see them in a controlled environment, or you can go to places like Kakadu, and you can see them there by accident. Kakadu, but you probably won't.
I met one.
Yeah. you can. you can see them by accident, but you won't live to tell the tale.
What happens if you see one by accident? Does it just eat you automatically? Is that like a rite of passage to the crocodile? I saw you by accident, or I could eat you. That's terrible. I'm not coming.
They're not in Perth. You won't find them in Perth.
Perth?
You won't find them in Western Australia.
Really?
What do you have there? Well, you have lots of really big spiders, lots of snakes.
Yucky.
Spiders and snakes.
It's famous. You guys should Google what our native insects and, you know, flora and fauna is all about. And there's some really scary spiders, but you very, very rarely see them. You don't see them in the CBD. They don't all hang out in clubs and stuff.
So I bet there's some reptiles, though, isn't there?
There's lots of reptiles. I got little things called tartar lizards in my backyard. They're really cute. And when the male goes for the female, she puts her hands, front hands up, or front legs up in the air to wave, go, hello, I'm here and I'm fabulous. And then he has his way with her. And then the little baby males, they've gotten really smart. When they're about to be attacked by a big male, they trick it and they wave its hands in the air and go, hello, I'm fabulous. And they pretend to be the female so they don't get attacked. Sometimes they get not what they wanted, but they don't die.
Isn't that interesting? That's very interesting. on this story, before we move on to the lost in the Garden of Eden, I just want to point out that Mount Isa resident Marvin Muller.
That's about right in Mount Isa.
Yeah, he photographed the snake eating the crocodile. And what he said was, Marvin, you should be ashamed of you. The reason I reacted to his name is because I know Marvin Muller, but it can't be him. So anyway, it was his reaction to it. He said, this was a pretty cool experience. Well, but it wasn't for the blinking crocodile, Marvin.
No, they get their share. The crocodiles get heaps. So it's about time somebody got something out of a crocodile.
Yeah. What about this bloke who's a self-confessed idiot?
All right. First of all, the Northern Territory. This is where I live.
Is it?
So, this is the kind of thing I'm facing every day when I encounter people. I think to myself, well, it's just like being on Mars sometimes. The people here are really nice people. Yeah. Some of them are really foolish, like this fellow, and some of them are just really strange. So this guy called, he's hilarious.
He's a good egg.
He's a great egg. He's a moron, but he's a great egg. Jason, he's only known as Jason, although how many Jasons are tradies and have a dog called Mumbles? So I don't think he's hidden anything very well from his friends. But he drank had a few ales on his parents' 8-hectare property when he saw a dingo. Now, we're in the Northern Territory. There's dingoes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is that a dog?
So it's the dog that stole the baby and the whole trial with the baby and the dog and the mother.
Dingoes to face as well. Swimming kangaroos.
No, they're only in the Northern Territory. Where you're going, you only have to worry about sketchy politicians. anyway, frightened that his dog Mumbles might be in danger, Jason ran after this dingo wearing just his shorts and carrying his dying mobile phone, but he'd only been there for a couple of weeks. This is his parents' house he was visiting, and he got lost in the long grass. He's turned around at some point and gone, uh-oh, I can't find the house. I don't know where I am.
How long is the grass in the Northern Territory? How do you get lost in the long grass?
Well, I don't know about this property. We all mow our lawns, you know, but this property, I don't know. So it could have been up to as high as an elephant's eye. Anyway, he's on Facebook talking to his missus, and in the end he said, I think it's time to call for help. So he called 000, which is 999 where you are, and the operator said it wasn't an emergency. And he said, it's an emergency to me. And she hung up the phone. But the next guy, he contacted police. So he exhausted and drunk, he sat down and had slept. He slept for an hour and was woken by this yelling. He said, I woke up and heard someone yelling and I could see a bit of a torch. It was a bleep relief. I just thought, thank God I'm an idiot, he said.
Who was it?
It was the police. To come to rescue him and a neighbour. And he thanked the neighbours who helped helped rescue him and the NT police. But do you know what I think? I think he's a moron because, first of all, That's just stupid. And also, if he's got his dying mobile, don't Facebook your missus and ask for help when she clearly can't help you. Get on Google Maps and put the road in there and walk towards the road, you great Trongo.
I know, yeah, Bing. Yeah. And a top tip, ladies and gentlemen, based on this story, just bear in mind that beer and grass do not mix. So I think the next thing we have to look at is this frozen Siberian permafrost virus. Well, do we really care if the Siberian permafrost gets a virus?
Well, we do, because it's public health risk, I think, with any virus.
Right, how much of the public live in the Siberian permafrost?
I have no idea, but, you don't want smallpox.
Journalistic questions.
But you don't want to, it's the revival of raising the possibility of other more deadly viruses, such as smallpox, being exposed amid global warming. So while everything's thawing out, all these germs are flying off and becoming airborne. That's scary.
I suppose it is a bit scary, really. I suppose.
Well, when you think airborne germs can travel quite far and quite quickly, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary.
It's just rain. A bit stuck, isn't it? Acid rain, yeah. Don't have that beer and grass now. But it says this is not dangerous to humans or animals, but its revival raises the possibility of other more deadly viruses, like you said, such as smallpox. I think it's quite interesting. This virus hasn't been known for 30,000 years, and it's suddenly come back to life.
It's been hibernating, literally. Like, it's been really seriously dormant, and now everything's melting because of global warming, which apparently there is or there isn't. But, it's still pretty alarming. I don't like the idea of going out for a walk and just getting smacked in the head by an airborne virus. I've got crocodiles and stingrays to contend with.
Well, I'll say there's a line in the story which, you see, I can't, they say it's not been seen for 30,000 years. Well, how do we know that? How do we know? How our records don't go back 30,000 years.
I was going to say, little microscopes and little beakers being used by dudes in caves and stuff.
Yes. But you've got it here. It says, it just amazes me, this story, and I think people should be more careful about what they write. It's part of a family of giant viruses discovered 10 years ago, right? That's what they say. So to me, a giant virus is, like you say, like when I was in India, those things that give you malaria, like what are they called?
Mosquito?
Yeah, those mosquitoes. I walked into our room and there was a mosquito sitting cross-legged in a chair, having a fag. Reading the paper, waiting for us to come back. Now, that's a big thing. The virus, they say, giant virus. Yeah, what does it say? They are so big, they can be seen under a microscope. That's massive, isn't it? That's as big as a crocodile, isn't it? What a load of rubbish.
Rubbish, I don't know. I think just because, well, science has gotten pretty clever. So they've taken all this DNA out of fossils and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. I love science. I don't understand it, but I love it. Cool what they've done. It's good that they're doing this research because they'll probably ward off something horrible. But it's interesting to think that the cause of global warming, this stuff can actually thaw out and, the Black Plague could come back or something.
I think it's just about time to finish this health, isn't it?
Who's that? Who's that?
Okay, Stace, we're going to talk to you in second half.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.